Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. And that I know me and Wes have definitely been talking about and waiting for. Offensively, stars are starting to emerge at wide receiver and tight end, and maybe as LSU finally found their starting running back. Defense was flying around the ball. Still gave up a couple of big plays, but were pretty impressive. O-line shows some improvement, but can they get better? Or is what we've seen the best we're going to get this season? All these questions and more will be answered on tonight's episode of the Tiger's Den as I welcome in my co-host, Wes. Wes, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. It's much better than the last time. There's at least a little positivity and things to possibly build on and look forward to. I'm not sure there was after week one.
No, there was not after week one, and after week two, still kind of up in the air. It wasn't a very, I guess, convincing win. But this one was pretty convincing. Max Johnson had a pretty decent game, 26 for 35 for 372 yards, 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. That's kind of performance we're looking for, especially when you're playing a smaller team like Central Michigan. Nussmeier got into the action a little bit, only 1 for 4 for 28 yards. But the emergence of Deion Smith at wide receiver was exactly. You know, it's somebody that, you know, we've talked about the wide receivers and where, you know, we pretty much talk about Bouti, but Deion Smith came out and emerged as possibly our number two, which we really need. And, you know, he's only a freshman. And Corey Kiner emerging at running back, 12 carries, 74 yards and a touchdown, also only a freshman. And of course, the big star also of this game was Jack Besh. 5 receptions, 81 yards and a touchdown. So, I don't know. Where do you want to start with all that?
I mean, the receivers need some to get some credit here. I think if Max played a good game, there was a few things that were, you know, I was wondering about different decisions. But Deion Smith, Besh, and Brian Thomas Jr. combined for 266 yards. I mean, these are three true freshmen. Besh is somebody that just switched to positions at the start of this year. And then we got, I mean, Deion Smith and Brian Thomas Jr. There was a few people that we were worrying about, with Moore and Turner and wondering if Neighbors would come through, which, I mean, again, exciting that Neighbors played in this game. I don't think he was expected to play for till like half the season. So he's coming back early. There's some exciting receivers here at LSU. And I'm not even sure if I could, after Bouti, like, start telling you who's number 2, 3, 4, and 5. I mean, it's great to have a problem figuring out who's the best five.
Definitely. And I think something that was kind of lacking, especially in the first two games, was that, you know, other than Bouti and Besh, we really didn't have anybody else to throw it to. And with Deion Smith emerging kind of as, I mean, definitely a possible deep threat guy. And somebody could catch. I mean, that first touchdown where he caught it and leapt over the DB. I mean, he almost, you know, Max kind of just threw it up. And, you know, if you go back and look at some of Burrow's throws from 2019, he kind of did the same thing where he was relying on his receivers and put it in a spot to where it's either pretty much going to be him, you know, our guy getting it or nobody. And, he definitely came through and showed out.
I think he was a Sports Center top 10 play with that catch.
I believe he was.
He was somewhere in there, the top 5.
And then Besh catching that one-handed touchdown. I mean, I can't talk about enough just how much he has developed into, you know, an unstoppable force. You know, we tight end, you know, over the past couple of seasons is definitely emerging as a position that we are excelling at recruiting. And I mean, he is definitely top notch.
Man, I've loved watching Besh this season. Again, we talked about after the UCLA game, just his presence. And I hate using that term, but I mean, he was ordering around other players and telling people where to be, and he was organized and organizing other people. And what he's done the last two games is great. But, and then not just understanding the game, but actually to have the ability to make that catch. And it was amazing.
Definitely. And Kiner really showed out in this game as well. You know, 12 for 74. Davis Price only had 6 for 4. Josh Williams was 2 for 15. I mean, I think Coach O went on record this week saying that Davis Price was going to start. You know, I guess it really doesn't matter who starts. It more so matters who gets the most carries. Kind of reminds me a little bit of a mix of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darius Geis. Like, he's got the spin move, but he also has the power to break tackles and run through them. I think that's a big plus for him, especially the way the offensive line is. If you look at Davis Price, I mean, you touch him with a finger and he goes down, whereas Kiner's breaking a lot of tackles.
And I mean, I think Kiner's listed at 213. I mean, he looks like a 220. Like, he's still athletic. He's a big guy. I mean, as far as tall, he's not a 5'6" running back. He's a big guy and definitely powerful. I mean, I am hoping that Price figures some things out, but Kiner's definitely was our best looking running back and gave us the chance to win this last week. It would be a foolish to not get him in the games earlier. And it makes me question the decision with the UCLA game. When it wasn't working with other people, they said that they wanted to get Kiner in the game, but they also didn't want to throw a true freshman in there in a tight game in the fourth quarter. And it's like, I mean, a couple of 7-8 yard runs might have made the difference in that game.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very frustrating to me. My thought is, look, you're on the team. If you're the best player available, I don't care if you're a freshman or not, put him out there. I mean, that's the same thing with the linebacker, you know, Jones that we were seeing. You know, he's the best covered guy on the team, and you don't have him out there. And you're like, oh, we got to get him more involved. Well, no shit, you got to get him more involved. Put the man out there and let him do his thing. I don't get it. It's very frustrating. And if you're O and you're coaching for your job, which is what you are doing at this point, I mean, throw the best players out there and see what they can do. Worse, you can't do any worse than what was happening out there at that point in the UCLA game.
And I'll say, I'm almost kind of embarrassed to say this about, I want to bring up Neusmeyer again. I know he's 1 for 4. Like, the stats in the two games have not been spectacular. There is definitely some decision making and stuff that he's doing that looks good. The way he climbed the pocket and he knew where the line of scrimmage was and looked, I mean, it was a perfect play where it looks like he's going to run and probably get a 2 yard gain. He kept his head upfield the whole time and made a great pass on and I'll say, this is both games that Neusmeyer is not getting help by the receivers. For the receivers that I don't know have dropped in a single ball all night with Max Johnson throwing, they didn't like have a ball hit them in the face mask with Neusmeyer, but they have balls they should have caught.
Right.
He should have been 3 for 4, but regardless of all that, he threw accurate enough balls to be caught. Mm-hmm. And I really like just the way he was moving around the field, keeping his head downfield and not freaking out. Like, he didn't just completely lose it and you know.
Maybe
and probably the sack that he took was probably a smart sack. Like, it was a 10-yard loss, which sucks.
Maybe they're just used to left-handed throws.
somebody brought that up this week. And, like, I think Orgeron gave, like, maybe it's different. I don't know.
I don't know. Offensive line. Do you think that, well, first of all, there were some injuries offensive line. I think they're going to be switching some things around this week. But do you think that that's something that can improve on, or do you think that this is basically what we're going to have the whole season?
I mean, this is Central Michigan. So I don't know how much we can.
I mean, they still didn't look great.
I think they had 0 sacks, which is
right.
good. But I wouldn't say that, like, there was this, what we did against Central Michigan just made me think, like, oh, we'll just be able to repeat this all year to go through SEC play. I think there's some problems on the offensive line. I think they did a lot better with communication and how they handled stunts. Central Michigan was trying to get Max Johnson rattled. Like, they were definitely running a lot of stunts and twists and things like that. And our offensive line at least communicated and did get in place. I don't know what that means against Central Michigan versus what it's going to mean against, you know, Florida.
Right. And, you know, if this is, and the reason why I kind of brought that up was, you know, if this is going to be what the offensive line is going to be, I think they need to start developing plays to compensate for it. Quick wide receiver screens, jet sweeps.
Yes.
Draws, quarterback draws. I mean, Max Johnson can run. And he had one carry for 4 yards, which I don't even remember the play. You know, they're not giving him the opportunity to use his legs. And I think that is hindering him a lot. I mean, he can get outside the pocket, but, you know, he could also run. If you start running some RPOs with him, that can open some stuff up. And I assume it's because they're afraid he's going to get hurt. You know, or they don't want him to get hurt. But like I said before, I mean, not that you want to injure the guy, but let him go out there and play. You know, if you're coaching for your job, let him do his thing. That was one of the things that was good about him last year, was that, you know, he was able to scramble a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I agree that the kind of athleticism, and he's had a couple of plays this year that look good with that. And for us not to include it in the game plan is definitely silly. I want to be clear with what I was saying just a minute ago too. We don't get to pick who we play. So I don't want to act like we did what we were supposed to do against Central Michigan. 49-21 is more than I thought we were going to score, and probably about what I close to thought we would give up. I think I was thinking high teens or something like that. Right. So when I say this doesn't mean we're going to do it against SEC play, I don't want to make that sound like I'm boohooing. This is exactly what you're supposed to do to Central Michigan if you're LSU. Absolutely. And I think that most people going into this game did not think that we would do this against Central Michigan like we did. Like, we played exactly how we were supposed to against them. Gave up no sacks, ran for some yards, got some freshmen involved. It was the perfect game that they were supposed to have.
Right. And, you know, this is kind of, like I said at the beginning, this is the game we've been waiting for, the kind of game we've been waiting for them to have. You know, they really didn't have it, obviously, against UCLA, and they didn't really have it, you know, the previous week against McNeese. You know, couple of Max Johnson stats that I had here. So he is the only quarterback in the SEC over the last 15 years to have at least three plus passing touchdowns in his first five starts. He's thrown for 1,537 yards, 17 touchdowns, three interceptions. This is all in his first five starts. A 60% completion rating and two rushing touchdowns. And he's, you know, he's going to get better. I still think, with all that being said, Miles Brennan comes back healthy, you got to put him in.
Yes. I think that, I mean, it's just, I don't think there's a doubt that he was going to be the starter. He gives you the best chance to win, and that every game is super important this year, no matter what our record is at the time.
Yes. Agree 100%. Now, let's kind of switch over to the other side of the ball. Defense. You know, we gave up 21 points, but that really wasn't – a lot of that wasn't on the defense. You know, those were kind of –
it was a 78-yard blown play.
Right.
Led to a touchdown. That's, you know, typical LSU fashion. We got to throw one of those in per game.
Yeah. The big plays is obviously concerning. When you're playing a team like Central Michigan – you can kind of maybe do that a little bit, I guess.
This next week, we're playing a team that's their entire game is trying to get big explosive plays.
Right. You can't do that once you get to SEC play. Like, you cannot give up big plays like that. Hopefully it's something that they clean up. The D line has been just phenomenally dominant. They are number one in the nation in total team sacks, total sacks yards. Okay, total team sacks, 17. Team sack yards, 118. Team tackles for loss, 40. Tackles for loss on yards. The tackles for loss, 161 yards. Those are all number one in the nation coming off that defensive line. That's some incredible stuff right there. And they're just going to be a handful for anybody.
We do have the injury. Andre Anthony, of course, and some movement with Mason Smith going to
defense. Yes. Go ahead and talk about that.
Well, I thought Mason Smith looked amazing. It was nice seeing Smith and Roy in the game together and lined up next to each other and them getting after it and both of them looking good. I'm thinking that this rotation, I hate missing Andre Anthony for sure, but this rotation we're going to have with Ali Gay coming back and Mason Smith over there, I think it can be impressive with what we can do. And he looks like a true football player. Obviously, I think that they said he needed to work on run game, but in passing downs, that guy gets after the quarterback and is powerful.
Yeah, and Andre Anthony is going to be out for the year.
Bad loss.
I feel bad for him. I think he's, a 5 or 6 year guy?
This is his last year.
Last year. So it just really sucks for him. But it definitely is interesting to see what Mason can do. I think that, from what I've read, Mississippi State, their offensive line has kind of gotten blown off the ball a lot. So I really look for possibly our defense to at least the front four to kind of dominate. Before we get into Mississippi State, is there anything else that you saw in the 49-21 win for Central Michigan that you want to talk about?
For sure. First, I think it'd be remiss to not mention Derek Stingley Jr. He is the best defensive player in the country in college.
Yes.
He showed that this is that guy. I hope that he stays focused this year and stays on that tear that he's on. I don't know where the talks were coming from the first 2 weeks of kind of giving Derek Stingley some bad press and saying that he wasn't trying. I don't know that I noticed big plays that just sat out to me or watched him not go after tackling the person. Maybe there wasn't a spectacular play, but I don't know that I saw him running out of bounds instead of taking on a running back or something.
Right.
I feel like that was maybe a little bit of talk, and probably that was some coach talk to get him extra fired up to.
Yeah.
But that is a dude that is a football player that when he's in the right place all the time. Enjoy watching him play, and he definitely needs some credit. And then kind of adding in, me and you mentioned, I don't think of LSU as a place where it's true freshmen come in and get a lot of pub or play a lot. And here we are 3 games into the season. There's 23 true freshmen on the team. 17 of them have played this year. Orgeron's supposed to say that this is the most talented freshman group he's ever. And he could be right. He could be wrong. I don't think we know that yet. But something about 17 of true freshmen playing, and we're 2-1. I mean, typically that's a bad thing when you're talking about that many freshmen have gotten going. And we keep talking about whether it's defensive or here's some receivers. Some of the true freshmen look good. I mean, there's been some names that we didn't even know or expect to hear. It's great. So that can be good for the rest of this year, but it's also says something about the next couple of years too.
Definitely. And, if for some reason at the end of the season, Orgeron is let go, whoever comes in to coach is going to have a hell of a lot of talent to work with if they stay, if they don't transfer out. But I mean, for sure, the freshmen have been. And, like I said, if they got it, if they got the chops, if they can play it, put them in. Let's go. It's time to stop, messing around and get these guys in the game.
My last Central Michigan point, we came in this game, Central Michigan rushing for 242 yards per game this season. Going into the fourth quarter, they had 10 rushing yards. against our backups, they rushed for a few yards in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Through three quarters, they had 10 rushing yards. Like that's, I don't, that should be almost impossible against anybody. They only finished
with 56.
56. Yeah, they had 46 in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, 56 is terrible, but they had 10 through three quarters, averaging 242 a game. Like that's impressive.
Very impressive. And that kind of speaks back to that, that defensive line and just how well that they have played. And, you know, it also speaks to the, you know, the offense too, because you get up on a team like that, they're going to have to start throwing the ball more. And then, you know, DBs played well. Other than a couple of big plays, they played well. You know, just kind of like you said, you just can't, you can't give up those big plays come SEC time.
15 tackles for loss in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, pretty amazing. And, you know, it's now the time to kind of be hitting your stride because we're starting SEC play next week.
Here we go.
You know, I mean, it's showtime. LSU versus Mississippi State. Game is at 11 o'clock, which it just always sucks having a day game at Tiger Stadium. Oh, actually, it's away.
It's in Mississippi State. Yeah.
Yeah. God, that's, oh man, those fucking cowbells. I hate those goddamn cowbells. That's the most annoying shit in the world. But hey, you know, it's never fun playing a day game, but it is what it is. So looking at this game, obviously, you know, Mississippi State, they're not a top tier SEC team. You'd say they're probably what, mid to low tier.
Yeah.
It's a team we should beat. Let's just put it that way. But it's also a team that could be dangerous, especially with Mike Leach as their coach.
And LSU is on the road and still favored by 2.5.
Yes. Leach is a very smart guy, very intellectual. He's going to come up with some stuff. He's going to throw everything at you. And I just hope that we can be ready for it. Cause it, you know, it could be, I don't know. I'm a little nervous about the game. I'll be honest with you. It's our first SEC game and I'm a little nervous. Should we win? Absolutely. We should win. It's just about going out there and executing. I have heard that Goodwin will be back hopefully this week, Armani Goodwin. Mm-hmm. So that will help in the running game. You know, I really think that the combination of him and Kiner could be something just really dynamic. Not to say that Davis Price can't do it, but I mean, first three games, has he really shown much? I mean, have you seen a star running back in Davis Price the first three games?
I haven't seen that at all. Like not decision making, not even explosiveness, not strength. And again, I mean, there's obviously something there. There's a reason, but this doesn't look like the same person that I've seen before in LSU.
No, he definitely doesn't. Could, and I doubt it'd be this soon, but could we be getting Emery back? Emery's probably the best running back on the team. You know, without seeing him go, I'd say he's better than Davis Price. We don't know if he's better, you know.
Yeah, but there's a lot we don't know. We have no idea what the true, like what happened and why he's really suspended, I don't think. And we may never. If the story they're telling is correct, he should be playing this weekend. I mean, if we're just comparing it the way that they're comparing it to other situations that are going on in NCAA and people that have been given exemptions.
Right.
It sounds like he should get an exemption this weekend.
So Emery had an update from his attorney that all documents have been submitted and is understanding that his case is docketed for review on Thursday and hope to have a decision either Thursday or Friday. Now, he hasn't been practicing with the team, so I don't know, even if he was cleared, that they would play him this game.
I thought he was practicing, and I could be completely wrong. He hasn't been practicing with the team.
I mean, from what I understand, he's not on the team. So if he doesn't qualify NCAA, I don't know why he would be practicing.
I definitely could have misheard that.
I don't know specifically. Like I haven't heard anything about him practicing or not practicing, but just in thinking that he's no longer, you know, O said he's no longer with the team, that he wouldn't be practicing with him. So I'm not sure. But if he has, then yeah, by all means, if he gets cleared Thursday or Friday, play him on Saturday. But if he hasn't, then I would say they probably at least hold him out this week and play him the next week.
Yeah, he's practicing. He practiced today with the team.
Okay. Well, there you go. So
Davis Price wasn't at practice, and Goodwin was in a non-contact jersey yesterday.
Okay. Well, I don't know why Davis Price wasn't at practice. Have you heard of any injury? I haven't heard of any injury with him. Interesting. So, you know, if Emery gets clearance, I mean, if he's been practicing, I say go put him in.
And to be fair, like, we've got to establish the run game and keep pressure off Johnson, but this is a game where we need to throw the ball. Mississippi State is susceptible to the pass. They do not get pressure on the quarterback. I think they're averaging two sacks a game this year against, you know, La Tech and Memphis and stuff like that. So this is a game where Max Johnson is going to have to throw the ball, and we're going to have to sustain drives both.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I am a bit worried, like we talked about earlier, about the offensive line play. They really, you know, this isn't Central Michigan. If they're going to be getting pressure on Johnson, you know, we need to run smart plays, screens, wide receiver screens, draws, things like that to suck the D-line in and then throw it right over them. And I think with Kiner and even with the wide receivers, I mean, you can throw, you know, wide receiver screens or running back screens and be able to get some yards. So it ought to be interesting. Do you have a score prediction for this game?
Yeah, I'll go with 33-27 Tigers.
33-27 Tigers. I am going to go, oh gosh, I think it's going to be closer. I'm going to go 27-24. LSU wins on a last-second field goal. 27-24. Yeah, that's my thing. I think it's going to be closer than what people think. I think Mike Leach is just such a wild card that it just kind of scares me as to what offensive game they come up with. And if it's – it might end up being a shootout. I don't know. I don't see them. I see his offense maybe could do some stuff. I don't know, though, that they're going to be able to score a ton on us just because our defense is so good. And I'm worried about – I don't know. I don't know enough, I guess, about their defense to know how they're going to play against us. Our offensive line just scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I almost feel like the first game was the first game, but the last two games I feel like have been preseason games, right? And you don't really know what to expect from your team. We've talked about after the UCLA game that the next two games really aren't going to show us anything about our team. And I still think that holds true. You know, Mississippi, McNeese, we won. It wasn't the greatest. This one, we blew them out, which we were supposed to do in Central Michigan. But I don't know that either one of those games told us a lot about our team and where we're at.
Yeah, and Mississippi State's in the same boat. I mean, they start off the first game of the year against La Tech. They were down by 20 in the fourth quarter to La Tech and had a crazy comeback to win 35-34. Well, then they played NC State, who is, you know, NC State. They just lost to Memphis 31-29, and there was some weird officiating that the SEC has come out and said was bad officiating, that both calls went against Mississippi State. So then they lose to – I mean, Memphis isn't a bad team at all.
Right.
They definitely have they're not also great either.
They're not.
They still gave up 31 points to Memphis to lose that. So – I think they're in the same spot too. They've kind of had a weird year, and they don't know what their team is either. We're both 2-1, and I think they're probably pretty excited because of what happened last year against us.
Mm-hmm.
But then their entire season fell apart after that.
Right.
So this is probably the same thing for them. They feel like this was their preseason. They got screwed out of a game. They should be 3-0, and here they can at home make a statement against the Tigers.
Yeah, and you know, you worry about like that, like this is their big game. Like
yes,
this sure. And probably like Ole Miss are their two biggest games of the year. And so they're going to throw everything at us they can. And I just hope that we're ready for that.
When they have A&M and Alabama the next couple of weeks after. Yeah. Actually, I think they've got a bye between the two games, but that's their next two games. They've got a run here starting
right.
with us.
And we have a run after this game.
We do.
It was Auburn's next, right?
Yes.
Auburn's next after Mississippi State. Yeah.
Auburn, Kentucky, so, Florida, I mean, Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas.
I mean, it's a murderer's row.
I mean, and let's not sleep. I mean, Arkansas is, I mean, that's all top 16 teams or top 23, top 25 teams, except for Kentucky.
And that Kentucky game looks like a trap. That looks like a serious trap game. Like that screams trap game.
Kentucky's 3-0. Now, besides they did beat the Missouri. I think they've played. They played UL Monroe and Chattanooga. They're 3-0 though. I mean, right. Has Kentucky ever been 3-0 in football?
I don't know.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We're gonna find out a lot over the next month and a half. Absolutely. Of what's going on. And you find it weird that we're not even, I know that we heard a month ago about that Brennan was 4 or 5 weeks out from being able to throw. So it seems like, I mean, I don't even know if has a reporter even asked the question, like, how's Brennan's rehab? Like, I know he's not throwing right now. I know he's not with the team, but like, is Brennan maybe going to throw before the end of September?
I mean, I don't know.
It's weird that just hadn't even come up, or maybe my timeline is screwed up in my head and it's only been a couple of weeks.
I mean,
it seems like it should be pretty close. I don't think he should be playing like in a couple of weeks against Auburn, but is he throwing at practice? Is he, you know?
Okay. So this is from 2 weeks ago, USA Today, recovering from broken arm, LSU's Miles Brennan throws football in East State pregame. So apparently 2 weeks ago, he threw some balls. Let me see this article here if I don't have to pay for it. Still recovering from a broken left arm, but he was on the field at Tiger Stadium before Saturday's McNeese State game throwing a football. Now it's his non-throwing arm that he broke.
Yes.
He had surgery on August 3rd. So original projections were that Brennan could return as soon as the Mississippi State game against that's not gonna happen. LSU's football Twitter account tweeted a photo of Brennan throwing Saturday and tweet said, "Good to see 15 back out on the field." So apparently he was throwing. Not in pads. He was in a gray t-shirt, sweatpants.
Yeah, let's be honest. He's not throwing hard. Like he's going to be on a long-term,
I mean, it says light throwing. Actually, there's a video. Let's see what this is. Of course, the video stopped. Right when he was throwing.
Well, that's, I mean, there should be like something over the next couple of weeks that starts resembling the conversation about that.
It's light throwing, for sure. But hey, it's better than nothing, I guess. Hopefully we'll hear something pretty soon. Yes, very excited. Let's see something. Okay, this is 6 days ago.
This is the Listen to Scott Google.
It's basically what podcast. It is. 6 days ago, speaking to the media during his weekly press conference, Ogeron stated that the senior may return during the Tigers' open week in late October, prior to the game at Bama.
That sounds more realistic. So another 4 weeks. I mean, if he started throwing this past week or so, like actually starts throwing this week, like real throwing. Four weeks of real throwing.
Yeah. So maybe against Bama, but God, do you want to put him out there against Bama?
Yeah.
but also he might be your best chance to win against Bama.
We just can't put him out there in flip-flops. Be fine.
Exactly. No wooden boards, no boats, no flip-flops, no fishing. It'll be all right. So in a few off the field notes for all you Survivor fans, if you're a Survivor fan, Danny McRae, former DB for LSU, will be a contestant on this year's Survivor.
National champion Danny McRae.
Yes, national champion Danny McRae. And I was actually, he must have made an NFL team at some point, because like on the, I was watching the beginning tonight and it said like it had ex-NFL player under his name. So I don't even remember him playing in the NFL really. And also the 2022 football schedule came out the other day. A few games of interesting note. LSU opens next season September 4th against Florida State in New Orleans. So that should be an interesting game. And then actually the first four games are all home games before going on the road to Auburn. SEC home games, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Alabama. So that's the 2022 schedule.
It's a good-looking schedule for us.
That first game is very interesting.
Yeah, the FSU game. And then, I mean, it's actually a good schedule of, I mean, talking about Southern and New Mexico and Tennessee and UAB. Yeah, I mean, like this, I mean, obviously we're going to have A&M and Florida and Alabama and, you know, Arkansas and Mississippi State, but the stuff around that. So it's a good looking little schedule.
For sure.
Definitely. And the Florida State game in New Orleans, that's going to be a bonkers way to start the season. LSU is always having fun games to start the season, except for the UCLA game. That was
right. Of course, that was fun. The one in Vegas in a couple of years is going to be good, too.
Bonkers, yeah.
That's what, USC,
yep.
I think, in Vegas? Yeah. We definitely like to start the season with a bang. And then one final thing. I don't know if everyone has seen it yet, but try to go check out the clip of Ogeron on Eli Manning's whatever, what is it called? Recruit Eli or something show on ESPN. At the end, Owen and Eli both tear their shirts off at wrestling style, Hulk Hogan style. God, I don't know what to think of this. You know, it kind of harkens back to the CEO thing. You know, do you really want your head coach, your CEO of your program doing things like this? I know it's all in good fun, but with everything going on in the circus that is LSU football, why would you do that? Like, could you ever see Nick Saban doing something like that? I mean, it's just oh my gosh. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, the success that Orgeron's had with in-state recruiting, and then also countrywide recruiting, like stuff we're bringing people in from all over the country. One of two things you got to do. Nick Saban is going to recruit well because Alabama is the best team in the history of football and history of any sport, like what they've done the last, you know, 15 or 20 years. Orgeron isn't just going to be able to do that. So he's going to have to recruit on his passion, you know, telling parents he can take care of their kids, being excited and fun for the kids too. And I mean, this dude from near Baton Rouge that you've heard him talk, like he's not going to try and do the Nick Saban talk and be the calm, like kind of,
coach
like that. This is what he's got. It's worked as far as the recruiting goes.
I guess it just looked embarrassing to me. I don't know. It just added to the circus atmosphere of LSU football.
I did forget that I had noted and I'd seen, but Orgeron did say this morning that Emory has been practicing them with the team, and he gets clear by the NCAA he's ready to play right away.
Oh, there you go.
It was on Tiger droppings this morning.
Let's roll. Let's go. Any final thoughts, Wes?
Man, this is where, I mean, like you said, this has kind of been the preseason. It's an unfortunate that this preseason we're actually 2-1 in the real season. But there's a lot more questions that need to be answered. I feel a lot better after this past week. Again, Central Michigan was the opponent. We did exactly what we were supposed to do against Central Michigan. Made the improvements. Definitely each week there have been improvements. The first week we were terrified that the coaching was so bad on this team we couldn't make improvements. We have made improvements each week. We got to keep heading in the right direction. And now we got opponents that are really going to test that theory.
Yeah. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where shit gets real. And it's going to get real, real fast. Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, Mississippi State, LSU. Fingers crossed we can pull this one out and move on to face a pretty tough Auburn team. So that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts for free, including the 2-point conversion instant reaction show that we do after every Saints game, the Don't Patrol podcast, the BSN Beer Saints podcast featuring Wes, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and this show, The Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger underscore podcast, at Don't Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook and Twitch for live streams at twitch.tv/Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, you can always go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Go Tigers.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting Tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting Tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score. Make Mike the Tiger spin.